Hello, and welcome to Resettled, A Human Journey, an ACCDC podcast. My name is Sophia Kinney, and I am joining ACCDC as producer and host of this episode. ACCDC is so excited to be able to offer this podcast as a platform for refugees and immigrants to share their stories, and we're grateful to you, our listeners, for being here as well. This season is made possible by our sponsor, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, health insurance, Medicare, and more. With the pandemic still raging on and with a widespread confrontation of racial and social inequities related to healthcare, ACCDC is grateful to be partnered with Anthem, who aims to reach and serve the most vulnerable in our communities. Just as a heads up for our listeners, there is a bit of background noise associated with my microphone. I just want to apologize in advance for any auditory distraction. Nevertheless, I am so excited to have Kanik joining me on the show today.
My name is Kanik Aguirre, and I am a community relations representative for Anthem Healthkeepers Plus.
Kanik, thank you so much for being here today. First off, could you talk a little bit about Anthem and what the company does?
Sure. So Anthem's a national company, right? We're the second largest health insurer in the country. Here in Virginia, we are the number one insurer. And specifically for Medicaid, what I'm here and hoping to focus on a little bit today, we serve a little over 400,000 people here in the state of Virginia. And specifically in Northern Virginia, we serve around a little over 130,000 individuals.
So for those who you don't serve, who may need health insurance, can you talk about eligibility? And you mentioned Medicaid, maybe program enrollment options.
Sure. I guess let me start on the Medicaid side. That might be a little bit easier for everyone. But essentially, for any type of federal Medicaid program, you need to be a citizen, number one, or a permanent resident. There's a couple of other immigration statuses that will also qualify you, but you want to talk it through with someone who's a professional on it to make sure that you're qualifying correctly. Number two is household size and income. All of these programs are income-based, so you want to make sure that you're going to qualify through your income. And then the third one is basically trying to categorize you. You know, how old are you? Are you pregnant? Do you have a disability? Those types of things. So in Medicaid, there's essentially three buckets that you can fall into. The first one is CCC Plus, or Commonwealth Coordinated Care Plus, which is our high-touch, high-need population, aged, blind, disabled. We're going to kind of set that one aside. That one's a little bit complicated. Our core Medicaid, which most people think about when they think about Medicaid, is pregnant women and children. And then the third bucket would be the newest one, which is Medicaid expansion, which covers adults from 19 to 64 that are not pregnant women or disabled. And then for those that do not have coverage currently, I would encourage you to either try applying for Medicaid, applying through the marketplace, because the marketplace also screens for Medicaid. If you know that you're not going to qualify for any of those things, so say you're undocumented or just for whatever reason you're not going to qualify, then other options are federally qualified health centers as well as free clinics. And those are kind of distributed throughout the state, and there's places to be able to help find them as well.
Now, about people who may already have Anthem as their insurance provider, can you talk about the renewal process for those already enrolled?
Yeah, so the renewal happens every single year. One thing I want to make sure that everybody has clear is that Medicaid has rolling enrollment, which means you can enroll at any single time, right? You can enroll today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Whenever it is that you get approved, 1 year from that day is essentially going to be your renewal date. So it's hard for people to remember, right? Because it's like, oh, well, I enrolled in March, and then I have to remember that next year in March, or 2 months before March, I have to make sure that I renew again. You should receive a packet from your local Department of Social Services in the mail, which will essentially give you the guidance on how to do everything, whether you want to fill out a paper version and send it back, if you want to do it online, or if you want to do it over the phone. So you'll always have those three options.
I imagine the pandemic has presented a lot of challenges regarding outreach and community involvement, but has there been any specific challenges or barriers, I guess, with people knowing about this renewal process because of the pandemic as well?
Well, I think number one, people are really stressed out, right? So this isn't necessarily high up on their list. Although if they all of a sudden realize I don't have health insurance anymore, I think it would kind of skyrocket to the top of their list. In terms of things changing outside of the stress and not being able to see people in person, things are kind of the same, because even before the pandemic, you know, people's lives are busy, they're working, they're taking care of kids. And so people tend to forget about it, especially since it's a year out. And if you don't have some type of reminder on your fridge or, you know, tie a knot around your finger or something, whatever people do to remember, you know, we're doing what we can to try and reach out to folks still. While we can't see people in person, we're still making sure that we're trying to communicate with our members through mail, through phone calls, making sure that we're trying to meet members where they are and just give them friendly reminders about their renewal or where their status is. And also, you know, just to check in to see how people are doing. We've been making calls across the entire state, and I can tell you personally that sometimes people are just happy to get a phone call and to talk with someone.
Of course, it's hard to have normal connections these days, but on that subject, are there any, is there a further, online presence that Anthem has built up because of the pandemic, or what ways is Anthem adjusting to kind of make their presence known and still there, even though there's not that face-to-face connection?
Yeah, I think that's something that not just with Anthem, but as a society, we're all trying to manage right now, which is how do we bridge that digital divide? Because it's one thing if you don't have internet or a computer or a smartphone at home, right? It's another thing if you have those things, but then you have no idea how to use them. So trying to bridge that digital divide has been one of the big things, and also ramping up capacity for things like telemedicine, because we want to be able to care for our members even if they're not able to come in person, right? Or if the doctor can't come see them at their home. You know, it was interesting because as a company, we were looking to roll out telemedicine in a pilot program, right? It wasn't going to be for everyone. So we were kind of getting that started. And then the pandemic hit and it was like, you know what? Full throttle. We're going to try and utilize telemedicine everywhere we can. Outside of that, and the fact that we can't be in person engaging people, to be honest, not that much has changed. We are still very, very active in the community. You know, we participate in a lot of different community meetings. We're still in communication with our members, with our doctor's offices, of course, our community partners, albeit all virtually or over the phone. But I think this is, folks are still feeling our presence in the community.
I wanted to ask, you mentioned about, you know, non-citizens being unable to enroll, but thinking about newcomer populations who might, you know, hope to become citizens one day, what ways is Anthem connecting specifically with these communities and these individuals?
So number one, if you're a member, you have access to an interpreter. We used to be able to provide interpreters in person, right? But with the pandemic, of course, we're not really doing that so much anymore. But you can get an interpreter over the phone, not just for your visits, for doctor's visits, but also when contacting our member service line. We have staff that also speaks a couple of different languages. Any material that you ask for in your language, you can receive. So say I speak Amharic and I call the member service line. I ask for an interpreter. I tell them, look, I'm getting all my information at home. I don't understand it. It's all in English. Can you please send it to me in Amharic? They will make some copies and they will send it to you in your native language. So, and that's something that's a federal mandate, essentially. So everyone is entitled to get their medical information in their native language. They simply need to ask for it. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize, because they just receive something in the mail and they're like, they throw their hands up. If they don't throw it away first, right? they just throw their hands up and they're like, I don't know what to do. But I really want to encourage everyone, you know, all they have to do, and this is whether they're with Anthem or not, right? This is for any of the managed care organizations and for most insurance companies in general. Call that member service line. There's just a wealth of information there if you just ask a few questions. But if you want something in your own language, just ask for that. For non-members, you know, essentially, we do put out advertising in a couple of different languages. And so that's how we're trying to attract folks and let them know this is going on. We use a variety of different modes, if you will, online advertising, billboards, newspapers, putting up posters at corner stores, right? We try and, again, meet people in the market where they are. So if we know that there is a community that frequents a certain grocery store and there might be a predominant language there, then we'll try and put some advertising there specifically in that language just to bring out more awareness. What really helped before is with the Affordable Care Act, before they kind of slashed all the funding for outreach, they would put all kinds of promotion materials out there and it'd be in multiple languages. And again, when people are applying through ACA for the marketplace or Obamacare, they would get screened for Medicaid and then they would potentially get put into expansion.
Thinking about the coming year with, you know, hopefully there's a vaccine coming for COVID and we're going to have a new administration and possibly health mandates, different things happening in 2021. There's a lot of hope, I think, and optimism, but a lot of, you know, there's going to be more changes happening again. What kind of adjustments does Anthem plan on continuing to make through the pandemic? And what are Anthem's goals for the upcoming year?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think we'll continue to kind of focus on expanding telemedicine capacity overall, right? I think that's a huge thing. Working on that whole digital divide, I think that's very important to us. Outside of that, you know, I think a lot of things are going to be continuing to be the same. I would be remiss if I didn't mention, though, because during the entire pandemic, we've also been seeing historic social upheaval. And I'm actually really proud of how Anthem has kind of responded to that by really trying to focus on social and on a social and racial equity lens, if you will, not just how our business operates internally, but also externally. And this is on top of what we started emphasizing a couple years ago with the social determinants of health. Internally, we're looking at hiring practices, how we're promoting people, the procurement process, those types of things. And externally, we're trying to really put resources where they're needed the most through a variety of programs and sponsorships. You got to put the resources where they're needed the most, right? Yeah, I mean, the mission really does remain the same, right? Trying to improve the lives of those we serve and giving our members the best quality care possible. We're going to try and do that by increasing access for members, emphasizing those social determinants of health, and like I said earlier, trying to really utilize the social and racial equity lens.
Yeah, great. Can you talk a little bit about what social determinants of health means?
Yeah, so at Anthem, we realized that having a health insurance and just going to the doctor to get your blood pressure checked or, you know, your weight taken is one thing, but there's a lot of other things that go into your health, right? When we talk about the social determinants of health, we're talking about, well, what's your housing condition, right? Because if you're coming to the doctor all the time with asthma and then we find out, well, you've got mold in your home, right? Or if, say, you've got a good home environment, but you've got no food in the fridge. So food insecurity, we try and make sure about that. Transportation barriers, childcare barriers. Those are two big ones, right? In Virginia, if you have Famous Plus, Medicaid coverage, you have free transportation to any of your medical visits. On top of that, with all the other programs, because we were looking at the social determinants of health, Anthem will actually provide at least one monthly trip, to basically anywhere you want to go. You want to go to the grocery store. You want to go to your church gathering, you want to go to a community center, because we also realize that those social interactions are very important to individuals as well. So when we talk about social determinants of health, we're looking at everything all around you, right?
Thank you again for bringing that up. Is there anything more you want to say about that or just how Anthem can be specifically serving like the refugee and immigrant communities that ACCDC is involved with?
Absolutely. So I think, again, some folks will be able to be covered by Medicaid specifically. A quick legislative note, right? So what happened recently, the state legislature struck down the 40 work quarter work requirement for green card holders. So this is very specific to our immigrant community here in Northern Virginia. But Virginia was one of five or six states in the entire country that had Medicaid expansion for adults. But they said you have to work 10 years in the country before you can qualify. Now, there's still a federal requirement of 5 years if you're a green card holder. But the state has now struck down the 10-year work requirement. You don't have to adhere to that. As long as you've been here 5 years with your green card, you can qualify. So I think that was a major legislative win. Additionally, they also expanded dental benefits. So that's going to be really great. But again, like I was saying, with the social determinants of health and then also taking a social and racial equity lens towards things, when I say we're putting our resources where they matter the most. So just today, I just dropped off 1,500 bags, about 500 to a food distribution that was happening in the southern part of Fairfax County. And then I went and go drop off 1,000 bags in the city of Alexandria for an event that's going to happen next week. That's going to be giving toys to residents of a housing authority. So we're trying to support people where we can. I know I said that we gave 1,500 bags today, but I mean, we've literally given like 20,000 bags out just in Northern Virginia alone to different food distributions, to food pantries. In terms of telemedicine, we've actually partnered with Neighborhood Health, which is one of those federally qualified health clinics that we talked about earlier that serves folks even if they don't have insurance. We gave them $20,000 and we're helped them to expand their telemedicine capacities, right? So by building up their capacity, they're going to be able to see more people, even if it's not our members. They do see our members, but we, of course, know as a practice, they're going to see other folks as well. And so we want to support those types of clinics that we know are going to be providing services to some of the most neediest and most vulnerable. Another group that we partner with a lot is the Mason and Partners, the MAP Clinic, which is with George Mason University. It's been really great to see them grow from one site to, I think they have like 6 to 8 sites now across Northern Virginia. But we're doing the same thing. I think it's somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000 to help give them the capacity for telemedicine as well. So Anthem doesn't just talk about it. We take action on it as well.
Yeah, sounds like it. Going off of that, is there anything you would want to say to listeners who, I'm thinking either who are maybe already enrolled but would like to get involved in some helping in this way, or people who want to advocate for themselves, you know, against potentially harmful legislation related to healthcare? Is there anything you think that people can do to get involved?
Well, I think with advocacy, there's always kind of two ways you can do it, right? You could go directly to the source. All of our local elected officials at the state and local level, their information is publicly available. So you can look them up. You could get their phone number, their email address, contact them and tell them how you feel about something, right? I think that's super important. And then the second one, you know, you might feel, oh, well, my voice isn't that loud because I'm just one person. Go find a group to advocate with, right? I'm part of a lot of different health advisory committees across the entire region. Those are mainly with Head Start programs. Head Start programs, of course, are serving some of our more socially, economically disadvantaged families. And so we kind of troubleshoot there, see how we can improve things. And if there's something to advocate for, then that health advisory committee will then try and push something up to a local official or state official to make sure it's on their radar. So joining a group that you are similarly minded with, a group like ECDC, right? If you have an issue, go to ECDC and then you can talk to them and say, hey, this is something going on. And if you guys see that it's something that is happening often, then you guys can kind of elevate that as well, right? So finding a group that has similar interests to you, I think that's super important. And I think the other thing to remember too, it doesn't matter if you don't speak English, and it doesn't matter if you're not a citizen. If you're living in this country, you have rights. Exercise those rights. Go make your voice heard.
Thank you for that. Well, before I ask if there's anything else you want to add, I wanted to ask, where can our listeners find more information about getting health insurance if they need it?
So the easiest place would probably be anthem.com /VA Medicaid. That will kind of push you to be able to see if you can apply for Medicaid and put you into one of those buckets. Another place you could go is Cover Virginia. Cover Virginia is where you would actually enroll, and you could call them or you could go to their website. And I want to think there's one more. Oh, for our members, if there's any Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members listening, if you need the member service line, you can find it on the back of your Anthem card. Excuse me, 1-800-901-0020. So Cover Virginia, anthem.com /Virginia Medicaid, the member service line. And I think those are some of the best places. And of course, if you're near a federally qualified health clinic or another area-free clinic, they typically have a lot of different resources that you could tap into as well.
And like I said, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up today?
I want to remind folks that we are still in open enrollment for Medicaid expansion. You know, one of the things with insurance benefits, there's kind of three things that you want to remember, at least with Medicaid specifically. You want to know what your benefits are, so you could always call the member service line and figure that out. You want to remember when your renewal is, And then you also want to know when open enrollment is. Open enrollment is different in the Medicaid world because you're basically being able to switch between the different companies. If you don't want to switch, then you don't have to do anything during open enrollment. But right now we're in the middle of open enrollment for Medicaid expansion, and it will go until the end of this year. So if you're interested in switching between insurances, you can do so now. But remember, with Medicaid, it is rolling enrollment. So it doesn't mean that you can't apply. Open enrollment for Medicaid means you can switch. Applying anytime that you want, you could always apply. And I guess I'd like to thank ECDC for letting us be on today. And, you know, Anthem's been doing Medicaid in the state of Virginia for over 20 years. We're a trusted community partner. And I think a lot of the work that we do shows that. And we just appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk a little bit about it. And we're always here to help out. Whatever you guys might need, just let us know.
Thank you so much, Kanek. I want to remind our listeners, too, that Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is our sponsor for this season of the podcast. So this show is made possible by Anthem. Thank you again, Kanek, for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Explore care and enrollment options at anthem.com and find them on Facebook at Anthem Medicaid. To find season one of our show and stay up to date on ACCDC events, please visit our website at acc-dc.org. Follow us on Facebook at ECDCACC, Twitter at ACC_Metro, that's M-E-T-R-O, and Instagram at ECDCACCDCMetro. Another thanks to our sponsor, Anthem, for supporting the series, and thanks again to our listeners for tuning in.